sanctify us. He'll transform us. Isn't that right? We can be new creatures like the Bible says. But one of the ways is that we tap into the sanctification process. That's the gradual, progressive process where Jesus takes us from one level of Christ-likeness to another. And the fire of the Holy Spirit is one way that he does that. Because when we're going to grow in God, you've got to develop in one area as you die to another area. Are you with me? You got to develop patience. I don't know about you. I wasn't very patient when I got saved. And some, you know, and come on. So I had to develop patience. But then you had to die to short-mouthedness. And, you know, isn't that right? And the Holy Spirit does all those things in this process of sanctification. Because I know a lot of us, we got saved and we really did get saved, but we still had a lot of stuff. Amen? That temper was still there. That jealousy was still there. That sharp tongue was still there. Isn't that right? Now, we know we're saved. We believe we really did come to Christ. And we knew there was a change, but there was a whole lot more that needed to keep changing. And the fire of the Holy Spirit. It's one of the key ways God works in us to take us from faith to faith and glory to glory. And so sometimes we just take that error. It's a jealousy. It's an anger. It's you list it. And just get in that prayer, Lord, Holy Spirit, consume me like fire. I present myself to you as that sacrifice. Holy Spirit, consume that junk. Consume it. I don't want to walk in that. I don't want that tar in my testimony. I don't want that mess in my marriage. I don't want that in me. I want to walk in the fruit of the Spirit. I want to stay sweet. Amen. I want to enjoy peace and kindness and love and self-control. Are you with me? I want to have that joy, Lord. I don't want that. And when you draw near to God, the Bible says he will. He'll draw near to you. And one of the ways he draws near to us and ministers to us through the Holy Spirit. One of the symbols the Bible gives us of the Holy Spirit's working is fire. Fire consumes. I mean, fire consumes. I mean, and sometimes we just offer ourselves, God, consume it. Just consume it. Just consume. Holy Spirit can do, how many know Holy Spirit can do that? I've seen people just grow up prejudice. One encounter with God, it's like the thing got knocked out. They never, it was gone. Fire of the Holy Spirit can do things like that, amen? I watched one man, he come in the office, big guy, he played Division I football, linebacker, big guy, struggled with things of the flesh, had a good prayer with him. He received, but you could tell it wasn't all the way there yet. Something happened, but there was still more. And later on that week, at the altar, called a long altar, about twice the size, and he come down to the altar. And one of our, back then, a little old ladies, they're probably only 70 at the time, but back then it was a young church, so 70 was like, you might as well be 170, you know what I mean? That was, when you're in your 30s, that's old, isn't it right? Isn't it true? Yeah, and I look out the corner of my eye, I'm praying here, and they just touched him. At a corner of my eye, I could see this. It looked like someone took an invisible 2x4, and bam, didn't push him, wasn't three people tugging on him. I mean, he just did this. And it was like, bam, this big guy. And he collapsed. I mean, for 20 minutes. We're closing down. We're going home. And he's just getting up. And from that moment on, bam, what a victory he got in his life. Amen. That's the power of the Holy Spirit, amen? Amen. And so we minister to one another, believe in that power, but also for ourselves. When we have areas in our life, amen. Some deal with fear. Always fearful. You don't have to always be fearful. Holy Spirit, take that out. Holy Spirit, help me to grow in faith and consume that fear. You see that? There's the developing of and the dying to. And the Holy Spirit enables us in both ways. And that's how we overcome and we become. I'm going to overcome the old me and I'm going to become the one Jesus wants me to be. Hallelujah. Well, let's get to our study. Amen. Welcome to Wednesday night Bible study. We are in the book of Mark. We're just looking at teachings through the book of Mark. And so if you would, Mark 1. I'm going to read our text tonight from the New King James. I'll start with verse 9. I'm going to read through to about verse 15. And we'll be focusing on 14 and 15. But let's just get the whole story together. The Bible tells us in Mark 1, verse 9, it came to pass in those days that Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee, was baptized by John in the Jordan, and immediately coming up from the water, he saw the heavens parting and the Spirit descending upon him like a dove. And then a voice came from heaven, "You are my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And immediately the Spirit drove him into the wilderness. And he was there in the wilderness 40 days, tempted by Satan, and was with the wild beast, and the angels ministered to him. 14 and 15 we'll be focusing on these next 2 weeks. Now, after John was put in prison, Jesus came to Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God, proclaiming the good news. How many know Jesus was a preacher? Amen? I mean, nobody preached like Jesus. I mean, no one. Can you imagine that? Wouldn't it have been something to listen to him preach? Man. And what was Jesus preaching? Verse 15. He was saying, "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the gospel." Wow. Wow. Let's go to our overhead. Let's look at our outline for the next few weeks. Outline for our next few weeks. We want Jesus and his message, Jesus and his men, and then Jesus and his ministry and his miracles. This is how we're going to break up these next, all the way to verse 34. But for the next week or so, Jesus and his message. Jesus and his message. And we're going to break it up into two parts. A, the good news has come. B, the good news has conditions. This evening, we'll try to look at the good news has come, and we'll focus on two thoughts, the kingdom and the gospel. The kingdom and the gospel. He preached the good news of the kingdom. And then the good news has conditions. Jesus preached, repent and believe. You can't separate the two. That's the condition for receiving the king, the kingdom, and the gospel. Repent means turn. Stop going that way. Turn, start going Jesus' way and believe. Put your faith in Christ. So again, let's look at this. The kingdom has come. The good news has come. Jesus' message was to preach the gospel of the kingdom. That's what he did. He came preaching the gospel of the kingdom. NIV would say he came proclaiming the good news of the kingdom. He said the time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the gospel. The king and the kingdom has come. Now, talk about the kingdom of God. A kingdom is the sphere that a king reigns. It's the area that a king reigns. The place the king rules and reigns. And when we talk about the kingdom of God, we're talking about a present reality, but also a future hope. We're going to talk about the kingdom now and the kingdom that's coming. When Jesus came, he did not set up his physical kingdom. That's later. Amen. When he returns, that's going to happen. But he did set up a kingdom in the hearts and lives of men and women that received him. You see, if you made Jesus your king, then the kingdom of God has come to you. Amen. Because he's ruling in your life. You received Jesus as your king. Amen. And now he has ruling and reigning over your life. And you enter into that kingdom. So the kingdom of God is an exciting topic, and we don't have time to. If you were to go and look in your concordance, you would see scripture after scripture about the kingdom of God. It's a wonderful thing. But again, Jesus, he wouldn't set up his physical kingdom at this time, but he would set up his kingdom, his authority, his rule in the hearts and lives of individuals that came to him, put their faith in him, that repented and believed. That's why we're part of that kingdom, aren't we? It's not of this world yet, is it? Oh, no, but we've received that king. We've received the kingdom. The message is urgent. The time is fulfilled. There's an urgent thing. Respond. It's time for action. It's time for decision. But let's look at the kingdom. It's interesting about the kingdom. Again, if we were just to study briefly about the kingdom, the Bible says the kingdom of God is a kingdom of power. 1 Corinthians, Paul said, it's not a matter of talk. It's a matter of power. Jesus said, when you see me bring deliverance to a captive, then you know the kingdom of God has come to you. One of the demonstrations of the realm of the king is his power is being demonstrated. Amen? But we learn about the kingdom of God. It's a kingdom of power. And we were taught to pray for the coming of the kingdom. Were we not? We're thy kingdom. So when I pray thy kingdom come, I'm praying, Lord, let your rule and reign come in my life and in my family, as well as let your eternal kingdom come to the come, Lord Jesus, quickly. I'm praying, Lord, let your kingdom now be more thorough in my life, be stronger in my life. But Lord, let your kingdom that is to come, let it come quickly. Come back, Lord Jesus. Amen. Save us from this mess. Deliver us from this mess. So understand, the kingdom of God is a kingdom of power. It's not just a kingdom of debate or philosophy, you know, philanthropy and all that. Kingdom of power. It changes lives. It sets people free. There's power in the gospel. The kingdom of God, the rule, the reign, the authority of Christ the King. It's a kingdom of power. We're to pray for the kingdom. We're to preach the kingdom. Jesus was preaching the kingdom. He sent his disciples, preach the gospel of the kingdom. Preach. Preach this. Paul preached the gospel. We are to seek and pursue the kingdom. We're to pursue the kingdom. If we're to go into these deeper realms of Christ ruling in our lives, if we are to finally make it to the ultimate end of our faith and enter in and hear those words, well done, thy good and faithful servant, we've got to pursue the kingdom. We're going to seek the kingdom. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. And we just got to seek this kingdom. We need to be seeking the rule of Christ in our lives. You can always tell someone's not saved. They're looking for loopholes how to avoid the king and his rule and his reign. But those that love Christ, say, Lord, every area of my life, have your way.
That's right.
Jesus, you're my king. I worship you. Jesus, we crown you with praise. Lord, have your way in my life and in my home and in my family and all that I do. Let it glorify you. Amen.
Amen.
Because we're seeking the kingdom. We want the king to be pleased. We want the king to have his way. Pursuing that kingdom, laying hold of eternal life. There's power, there's prayer, we preach it, we pursue it. We have to really pay the price for the kingdom. How bad do you want this thing? I hear one of my mentors, he used to preach, how bad do you want this thing? The Bible says, is it Matthew 11, that the kingdom of heaven suffers violence and the violent take it by force. Well, he's saying there's a whole lot of things going to try to hinder you from going on with Jesus. There's a whole lot of things that are going to make you want to get discouraged and settle for a status quo, mediocre Christianity. But if you're sincere about this thing, there's an effort you have to give to it. There's an energy you have to give to it. Nothing good comes to the lazy. Can you say amen? Especially in things of the Spirit. Things of the Spirit, it never comes to the lazy. Amen? You got to want him more than bingo. You got to want him more than a bowling trophy. You got to have a hunger and thirst to love him and know him and grow in him. Kingdom of heaven, violent, take it by. How many parables did Jesus tell about the kingdom? And the kingdom of God is like, the kingdom, got to pay the price for the kingdom. He said the kingdom is like someone, I'm around Midge's place, and I discover in her little backyard there, I saw some gold. Ooh, saw some gold. But if I'm not a nice person, I'm gonna give you three times what your place is worth. I'm not going to tell you about that gold. Ooh, she's going to say, oh, I'll take it. See, Jesus said, the man that really wants the kingdom is like a man that found a pearl of great price. Didn't tell anyone, but he went and sold everything he had to buy that pearl. Wow. See, that's the kingdom. You want the kingdom, there's a price to pay for the kingdom. If you want to go on with Jesus, there's some things you got to lay down. There's some rearranging you got to do if you want the Lord. If you want the God's best. Amen? Hallelujah. Isn't that right? Oh, hallelujah. Kingdom, the kingdom, the kingdom. How did Jesus say to Nicodemus? Unless you're born again, you're not going to, number one, you're not going to see the kingdom. You won't see it in the mind, you won't understand it, and you won't see it naturally, you'll never enter into it. Unless you're born again. You want the kingdom? You got to come to the king and let him make a new creature out of you. Amen? If you want to enter this kingdom, Paul said there's trials, there's a fight for this kingdom. Amen. But Jesus said to Nicodemus, number one, unless you be born again, you'll never see that kingdom. And then that Nicodemus was a leader of the Jews, a religious man, a brilliant man, but he kind of stumbled. And he said, what do you mean? What are you talking about, this new birth? Jesus talked about being born from above, getting a second birth in the Spirit, you know. He said, no, don't stumble over this when I tell you, you must. Jesus said, you must be born again. purpose. If you're not born again, you won't enter it. You won't see it. You won't enter that kingdom. Amen. Let's notice a couple more things about this kingdom. Go to Colossians 1. Colossians 1 in verse 13. Talking about that kingdom. Aren't you glad you're part of the kingdom of God? Aren't you glad Jesus is your king? Amen. I don't belong to that world anymore. This world not our home. We're passing through. Jesus said, my kingdom's not of this world, and neither are we. Amen? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Am I too much for you on a Wednesday night? Am I too much? Is this too much? All right. I mean, I took Sunday off, so, you know, I got a little extra fuel in me. I got a little extra fuel in me. Amen. Oh, Lord, look at this. Colossians 1 in verse 13. He has rescued or delivered us from the dominion or the kingdom of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves. What a beautiful illustration when we get saved. He takes us out of the, I'm not what I used to be, amen? And I'm not controlled by what used to control me. I'm not living for the praise of the things I used to try to live for. Instead, I got out of that kingdom and now I'm part of the beautiful kingdom of the Lord Jesus. Again, kingdom. Let me read you my footnote. Kingdom does not refer to a territory, but to the authority, the rule, the sovereign power of a king. Here it means that a Christian is no longer under the dominion of evil and darkness, but now we're under the benevolent rule of God's Son. Aren't you glad you got a new king? That's why David said, oh, taste and see the Lord is good. I used to have an old king, and he was bad. I used to have old ways, and they, you know, I tasted of other things, and he made me bitter. Amen. I tasted of other things, and it brought me regret. But now I tasted of the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I'm out of that kingdom. He brought me into his. If you would, Galatians 1. Galatians 1. Galatians 1 and 4. Just talking about that kingdom. We belong to the kingdom of God. If you're saved, you belong to the kingdom of God. Amen. Whew. I love it. Kingdom of God. We got a new king. He said, use my name and pray. Use my name and minister. Put on that armor of God. Take your stand against the devil. You're on the winner's side now. Isn't that right? Hallelujah. And the more you want this, you got to give out for it. That's what you're doing tonight. You could have been home watching Jeopardy or Wheel Your Fortune and all that kind of stuff. You could have done that. Isn't that right? But instead, I'm coming out to God's house. I want to learn something from the Word. I want to get my face stirred up. Amen. But that devil's waiting out there for you. You know he hits you. He hits you as soon as you leave. Sometimes before you leave. But he said, I'll come. I need to get some food, fuel. Right. Refueling right. In flight.
Amen.
It's midweek. Refuel in flight.
Right.
Isn't that right?
Amen.
Want to get stirred up. It's the old devil. He's sure I'm going to kick him in the head and make him wish he jumped on someone else. Isn't that right?
That's right.
When he comes, just give him, put on that armor of God, take your stand, and make him jump on sister so-and-so. That's all. She's watching Jeopardy. She should have come to church. Should have come to church. It's not raining that bad. No. In that bag. Hey, listen, it was flea market day. They'd go through the weather. Come on, say amen to that. Come on. They'd fight the rain for the flea market. That's all. All right, where am I at? Galatians 1. Oh, man, let me go look at verse 3 and just give us context. Grace and peace to you. Isn't that beautiful? Why don't we just stop there? Put your name in that. Grace and peace to Carly. From God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that beautiful? When you read that book, put your name right in there. God talking to you. It's God's love letter to his people. Isn't that beautiful? Grace and peace. Isn't that good? Grace and peace. Those are pretty words, aren't they? Especially when God speaks them. Grace and peace. Not criticism and condemnation. Grace, peace. This world don't know peace. Jesus said, my peace give I unto thee. Grace and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins. Wow. That cross, right? He gave himself for our sins. Not his sins. He didn't have any. Gave himself for our sins. Here it is. To rescue us, or again, New King James, to deliver us from the present evil age. That present kingdom. According to the will of God and Father. Wow. Hallelujah. Isn't God good? Oh, God is so good. God is so good. Oh, glory to God. Thank you, Lord. We love you, Lord. We love you, Lord. We love you, Lord. We love you. We love you. We love you. This is Jesus and his message. This is Jesus and his message. And his message had two parts. The good news has come, and the good news has conditions. We're talking about the good news has come. And Jesus pretty much, he talked about preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God. Jesus preached the kingdom. He said, the king is here. Respond to the king. Come to the kingdom. Now, the gospel, now let's look at the word gospel. The gospel of Jesus Christ is the good news that God's Son has come into the world and died for our sins. Isn't that wonderful? Aren't you glad someone died for your sins? And I think about all my sins. I sure would hate to have to stand before an almighty holy God and have to somehow pay the fare of my own. I couldn't pay the fare. Isn't that right? I'm certainly glad I can come in the righteousness of Jesus. I can come covered by the blood. Wow. The gospel of Jesus Christ is the good news that God's Son has come into the world and died for our sins. It's the good news that our sins can be forgiven, that we can belong to the family of God and one day live with God in heaven forever. Isn't that good news? I mean, it's an announcement, you know, because preaching is a proclamation. That old preaching word comes from the old, remember the old English movies you used to watch, the herald, hear ye, the king, right? And that's what preaching is. It's heralding a message of the king. It's declaring, it's not debating, it's declaring. It's an announcement of victory over sin, death, and hell. It's good news from God, and it's about God. It's the best news we could ever hear. That God did for us what we could never do for ourselves. He paid the price for our sins. Accepted us when we wouldn't have accepted ourselves. Made us brand new. Cleansed us and washed us. Gave us a hope. Gave us a joy. Gave us a new song. Oh, what a God we serve. Good news from God, about God. The very best news ever to come to the hearing of mankind, because it contains the message of forgiveness, reconciliation, restoration, new life in Christ Jesus. Oh my. Let's talk about the gospel. The gospel, good news, the good news of Christ, the good news that God sent his Son. Now, in the gospel, there's a revelation revealing God's way for you and I to get saved and forgiven and get to heaven. But there's also a power in the gospel to transform us and make us new creatures. Let's go, if you would, Romans 1, let's go over there. Let's talk about the gospel. This, the gospel, number one, reveals the way to become right with God. Listen, you don't got to read any kind of New Age garbage. You don't got to try to have some strange encounter, you know, some weird thing. You can throw away the philosophy books. The Bible teaches us how to get right with God. The gospel reveals to us, communicates to you and I, how a lost, guilty sinner can be made righteous and cleansed before a holy God. Amen. See, there's a revelation in the gospel as well as a power in the gospel. It reveals the truth, so as we respond to the truth, we can receive the transforming power of that truth. Let's go. Romans 1. This is familiar. Let's look at this. Explanation and communication. I am not ashamed of the gospel. Here's Paul, verse 16. Romans 1, verse 16. I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God for the salvation of everyone that believes. In that gospel, there's a power to transform the life of the believers. And we get to that next week. But now look at verse 17. For in the gospel, in this message, this good news that we're declaring, this good news that Jesus declared, that he gave us to declare, in the gospel, a righteousness from God is revealed. Righteous means, how do I get right with God? I've sinned against God. I've grieved God. I've rebelled against God. How do I get right with God? He's holy, holy. The gospel reveals how I can do that. It's a righteousness that is by faith from first to last. And it is written, the righteous will live by faith. It's revealed. There's a revelation in the gospel. It shows men how to get right with God. It shows men how to have their sins forgiven. It shows men how to enter into eternal life. There's a revelation in the gospel. Again, in fact, if you would,
Very quickly, you're there. They don't have it up top, but Romans 3:21. And it says, but now a righteousness. And when you see righteousness, a right standing with God. How can I get right with God? You know, some people think God's an accountant. And they think they'll stand before him and just because their good deeds outweighed their what they consider their bad deeds, they're going to be okay, but God's not an accountant. He's going to be a judge on that day. And hopefully he's your Savior this day. Amen? Amen. But yeah, see, people have their own idea of how to get right with God, don't they? Some just think if I'm better than someone, there's always someone that you're better than. Amen? I mean, you know, you weren't an axe murderer. Oh, you're better than someone. All right. You know, people just think, you know, ever talk to people, why do you think you're going to heaven? They'll give you a list of reasons, but they're not the reasons the Bible gives. It's not the revelation of the gospel. But the gospel does show us, reveals to us, communicates to us, how can you know you're going to heaven? How can you know that you know your sins are forgiven and you have a right standing with the only true and living God? The gospel reveals that. Here we go, Romans 3:21. But now, a righteousness from God, apart from the law, has been made known. God's revealed it in the gospel. We can come to Christ, put our faith in Christ. Amen. He came into his own received it not, but to as many as received him. To them, he gave the power to become sons of God. Have you received Christ? Have you put your faith in Christ? Have you turned from leaning on your own good works? Have you turned from living a life that is anti-God? Have you come to Christ to put your faith in Christ? The gospel says that's how we get right with God. That's how we get right with God. Hallelujah. So number one, the gospel reveals the way to the right standing with God. That's why we got to preach the gospel. Sometimes we get preaching self-help, psychobabble. Man, there's time in Sunday school classes for some of these side dishes. But when we get preaching and we got a main event going on, we need to hear some gospel. We need to hear a clear good news. Amen? Because you can have a healthy marriage, still go to hell. You can have your diet and your cholesterol right, and still go to hell. Isn't that right? People need to hear the gospel that rescues us from that, gets us right with God. So again, one thing the gospel does, it reveals the way to a right standing with God. It shows us, it communicates us how we get our sins forgiven, be made right with God, and get to heaven. We do recognize there's a false. Do we recognize there's a false? Do you know there's a false gospel? If you don't know that, I've got to tell you that. Go to Galatians 1. Quick, go to Galatians 1. Go to Galatians 1. That's why we've got to be sticklers and preach that pure gospel. Amen? Preach it clear. Preach it accurately. You know, you can have all the right chemicals, but if it's the wrong doses, that medicine will kill you.
That's right?
Right? That's true. So you've got to get this thing accurate according to the Bible. Here we are, we're in Paul's time. I mean, this has only been decades since Jesus ascended, all right? So it didn't take long before false tried to make inroads and pervert the pure gospel. That's why we always have to defend the pure gospel. We got to be sticklers. Listen, you can compromise in some other areas. You can't compromise on the gospel. The purity, it's heaven or hell.
That's right.
We can have a difference of opinion, you know, is there eight, you know, horns on the third knuckle of the, you know, anti-this? You know, we can disagree on some of those things. But man, you got to get this straight. Jesus is the only way. And you can't save yourself just because you're better than someone else. Just because you never murdered someone. You got to realize you're a sinner and need a Savior. And there's only one Savior. His name is Jesus. Amen? Only one name under heaven given to men whereby we must be saved. There's no other way to get to heaven but through faith in the Lord Jesus. No one else died for you. No one else shed his blood for you. There's no other currency heaven receives apart from the blood of Jesus.
That's right.
Amen?
Amen?
Isn't that right? Remember that old story in the barbershop in Dallas? It says, what does it say? In God we trust. All others pay cash. They said, we don't take any currency here. Except cash. In heaven, they don't accept any currency but the blood of Jesus. You don't got your faith in Christ, there'll be rejection. But look at this Galatians. Because there's a false. And that's why we have to know what we believe. And we've got to make sure we preach and teach accurately according to the Word of God. And certain outward things, we can have honest disagreement. We do. We got many brethren in other churches. We might have some disagreements on certain things out here. Boy, but when it comes to salvation, heaven and hell, there can't be no disagreement there. There's got to be. Amen? That's why, what did Jude say? We need to contend for the faith once and for all given to the church. Once and for all. We got to contend for it. But look here what Paul said, Galatians 1, verse 6 and 7. Paul says, man, I'm astonished. I'm blown away that you are so quickly deserting, like a soldier deserting his post, deserting the one who called you by the grace of Christ. We're saved by grace, aren't we? Not by works of righteousness we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us. It's the grace of God. By faith we've been saved through grace. It's by grace we've been saved. I didn't earn it. I couldn't achieve it. It's God's grace. There we go. One called you by the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel. Wow, this was just some decades after Jesus left. Look how quick the enemy tried to make inroads. Because if you can pervert the gospel message, you got it all. Amen? You can argue about this scripture, about that. You can argue, but when you hit the heart of the message, salvation. In verse 7, Paul goes on to say, by the way, it's really no gospel at all. There's only one gospel, amen? And evidently some people are throwing you into confusion and are trying to pervert, twist, defile, dilute the gospel of Christ. Isn't that amazing? They still do, though. They still do, don't they? They still do, don't they? But look what Paul said. Now, Paul, you know, he was a straight shooter. I like Paul. He's one of my heroes. I like Paul. He's a straight shooter. Amen? Oh, look what he writes here. But even if we... Paul says, even if I start changing the message, don't listen to me. Isn't that something?
Yeah.
Even if we or an angel from heaven. You see, this part of our part of the church has so many strengths. One of our weaknesses as charismatics, Pentecostals, we can be a gullible people. Man, we can be a gullible people. Someone pulls a rabbit out of their hat, we follow some dumb doctrine, we just believe anything. We get too much into the sensation of it all. Amen? But we got a written book. Amen? A written book. A written book. Don't veer from this written book. Amen? Measure everything. It's all right to you measure everything the preacher says. Measure to the book. Paul said, that's fine. Don't just take what I say at face value. Go to the book. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach a gospel other than the one we preached to you originally, let him be eternally condemned. Wow. That's pretty strong. Paul says, even if an angel comes down and he reads you your phone number, does some hocus pocus, if what he tells don't line up with the book, you know he's from hell. But he gave me some sign and wonder. The devil does a lot of signs and wonders. Amen? But if what he tells you to do or what he preaches and line up with the book, you know he came from hell and not from heaven. That makes sense to anybody? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Oh, Lord, help us. What am I doing? All right. The gospel reveals the only way for a lost sinner to get right with God. Reveals that. And the gospel invites whosoever will come and receive the gospel. For God so loved the... This goes out to... The whole world can respond if they want. The whole world, God is willing to receive if they'll respond. The response we get to next week if they'll repent and believe. Amen? But the God, it reveals... But it also invites whosoever will. Because God's not willing that any. So the gospel reveals the gospel is to all, whosoever will.
And the gospel has contained within the message of the gospel, that if you'll respond to it, the power of the message will be released into your life. Amen? Think in the natural. Think in the natural. Jesus said, walk on the water, Peter. Peter didn't change. He just responded to that word. And as he responded to the word, the power of God began to work in his life. He said to another one, stretch out your hand. Crippled, can't stretch it out. Impossible to stretch it out. But when he responded to the good news, when he responded to the power was released. That's why the worst of sinners, the most hardened of sinners, most messed up lives, if they'll hear the gospel and respond to the gospel, in their response towards Christ, the power of the Savior is released into their life. Isn't that wonderful? Oh, man. Oh, praise the Lord. It's all in the gospel, in the gospel. Again, what do we read? For I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the ability of God to save whoever will believe. You got to hear before you believe. Yeah, how can you believe something you haven't heard? Amen. But when they hear the gospel and they choose to believe and respond to the gospel, the power of the gospel make them new creatures, set them free. Oh, they'll never be the same. Hallelujah. When received and believed and responded to, it releases the power of God to change, regenerate. That's our theological word. There's a regeneration. There's a new birth, a transformation to save and become. If any man be in, let's 2 Corinthians 5:17. If any man be in Christ, if any person responds to the gospel, repenting and believing, if that happens, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. He becomes new, not because of willpower, not because he just worked his way into it, but the message of God transformed his heart. Remember in the very beginning of your Bible, it says the world was what? Dark and chaos. Without, it was dark, void, right? Remember that? And what happened? What happened? God spoke. God spoke, let there be, and what happened? Paul, in 2 Corinthians, takes that and goes, you know what? That's just like your salvation. Our heart was dark, confused, dead in sins, but then the light of God's word, the light of that gospel hit that heart. Whew, and the power of God was released in our lives. If anyone's in Christ, he's a new creation. The old is gone. Goodbye, old kingdom. Goodbye, old master. Goodbye, old way of living. The new has come. It's a new kingdom and a new Lord and a new Savior. Hallelujah. Oh, man, Jesus, Jesus, Lord, we love you so much. We love you so much. We love you so much. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, so what we got? We got Jesus came to Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom. We studied tonight the kingdom and the gospel. We're part of the kingdom of God. Amen? We've got a new king. This world's not our home. Our king's a good king. He's a benevolent king. He's a loving king. Amen? And there's power. We can pray in his name and we can enjoy this, the blessings of that kingdom. But the kingdom of God is not meat or drink, but righteousness, peace, joy, and the Holy Ghost. Isn't peace better than stress and than condemnation and insecurity? Isn't peace the peace of God? How about righteousness? Knowing you're right before God. Isn't that wonderful to know God don't remember our sins no more? The devil always tries to make you remember them, but God's forgotten them. So we just say, get out of here, devil. They're under the blood. Under the blood. Amen? The kingdom of God. This is in Romans. Kingdom of God, not about me to drink, not about what kind of car you drive. Not an issue at all. There's some people in this world walk closer to God, they ride a donkey, so let's not get caught up in the natural. There's places in this world, isn't that true? There's places in this world, barely got running water, but if I was sick and needed someone to pray for me, if I could get a hold of them, I'd be calling them, isn't that right? So don't worry about the car you drive. This kingdom, not about meat or drink, but it is about righteousness. Because when I get right with God, then I'm going to walk right before men. When I get right with him, I start living right. Isn't that true? Because I'm part of the righteous kingdom. He wants me to live right. I got to represent my king properly. Amen? Righteous peace. All of a sudden, peace comes in my heart.
know that if I don't make it home tonight, I'll be with Jesus. That's a peace for living, isn't it? Don't got to worry about making things right. Things are right. Living it right. Isn't that right? My cousin, he man of God, 61 years old. He preached over in the old fellowship hall. Preached every church I ever pastored at. Loved God. One of his, you know, he had a job, but he had his license with the assemblies. So he, you know, evangelistic things on the weekends. And he would, but in his church, he'd go to the big Brooksville church where Brother Garcia was all those years. His job for the last 20 years, he would do their water baptisms. And, I mean, he'd pray over each person. That, I mean, they would do it quarterly. It's their big church. They got it. He'd pray over each one. God give him a word. I mean, just he'd give it his all. Just love God. Love God. Walk with God. Playing tennis the other day. Felt that a little. Well, before he could get himself to the hospital, God called him home. We're just thankful he was at a stop sign, and that, you know, so there's no accident. Police had a break in. But you know, when you live right, you're right. Because if you're not right, you might not have time to make it right. You got to live right.
That's right. That's right.
But when you're part of the kingdom, there's a peace. Yeah. Things are right between me and my God. Amen? Yeah. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
There's a joy. Because this life's not always easy, but God's still good.
That's right.
This life gives us some real, you know, it gives us some curveballs. Amen? But God is still faithful.
Yes.
It keeps us joyful. Amen?
Yes.
Keeps us singing. Praise God. Father, we love you. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the kingdom. We thank you that we are part of the kingdom of God. Jesus, we thank you. You rescued us from the kingdom of darkness. We thank you, Lord. You took us out of that old kingdom. Washed us in your precious blood. Cleansed us. Made us brand new. Wrote our name in that Lamb's Book of Life. And now we can rejoice in you and walk with that peace and that joy, knowing things are right between us and the Almighty. We can walk with confidence and faith as we represent you. And we share the kingdom with others. And we thank you for the gospel, the good news. That you did for us what we could never do for ourselves. You died for our sins. Shed your blood that we could be forgiven and have eternal and abundant life. Lord, we love you. Lord, we love you. We thank you for the gospel. Help us to do our part to share the gospel with others. Help us to do our part to expand your kingdom in this earth. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said,
amen.
God bless you. We'll see you on Saturday night as prayer meeting, and then Sunday, resurrection service.